This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته How are you all doing? Alhamdulillah, tonight is night number 10, the month of Ramadan. One third of the month has come and gone, and we've only got another two thirds left. This time, in 3 weeks' time, it's going to be Eid. It's done, Ramadan is done. And therefore, we need to really think about, if this is our last Ramadan, have we achieved enough? Remember, there's no other time in the year where more people are forgiven, more people are released from Jahannam, and therefore that amnesty, if you think that amnesty of sin is only open for this month, one third of that opportunity is gone, we only have the other two thirds left. And subhanAllah, we said, as we get closer towards the end of the month, that night, the night of destiny is coming up, and we should do our best inshaAllah, we make dua that we do our best to achieve the maximum rewards of this month, because it might be our last. Always consider that this might be our last Ramadan. So may Allah bless us and accept what we have done, and may Allah grant us to increase in what remains, and let us use every single evening. Only 20 days, subhanAllah, only 20 days and 20 nights. Whatever is on the agenda can wait for 20 days, 20 nights. Yes, 3 weeks? Not so long. 3 weeks, imagine, we're going to talk about Jannah and Jahannam. We are in that test. 3 weeks to guarantee your spot in Jannah. 3 weeks to save yourselves from Jahannam. So save ourselves from Jahannam. So let's make the most of it. Ameen. Yesterday we started discussing some of the ayat following the story of the people of the cave. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاسْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدَعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَةِ So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about, Allah says to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and be patient. And be patient with those who remember Allah and they worship Allah. يَدَعُونَ They make dua to Allah, بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ In the morning and in the evening. يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَةِ Desiring the pleasure of Allah. So what is, some scholars have said, this verse was revealed because the Prophet peace be upon him, as we said, this is the early stages of his da'wah. He's calling people to Islam. And the elite of the Quraysh, the tribal leaders, they said, look Muhammad, so they obviously didn't believe he's a prophet. They said, there's no way we can share in a religion with the likes of Bilal, he's a slave, with the likes of Ammar, slaves, Ibn Mas'ud, these are the low class people of society. They are our servants. How can we and them share in one religion? So maybe if you get rid of them, we will enter your religion. So Allah subhanahu, and obviously the Prophet peace be upon him, not that he considered it, but Allah immediately says, and you, ya Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, be patient with those who worship Allah in the morning and the evening, all they want, they do it out of sincerity. You focus on them. And in fact, وَلَا تَعْدُ أَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ And don't even move your eyes off of them. Don't even stop looking at them. Not even for one moment do you divert your attention from them. You focus on them. تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا And don't be distracted by the zina, the beauty of this dunya. Now, the Prophet, peace be upon him, you know, Allah sometimes commands the Prophet with something, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the real address, we are the ones being addressed. Allah is saying, don't overlook the sincere, pious people in this dunya, even though on the outside they don't look like much. And you are distracted by the worldly things. So you look at the man and you judge already by his car what kind of person he is. By the clothing she's wearing, this is in your mind you've already categorized who this person is. How important they are. By their job title. By which suburb they live in. Now we're already, and subhanAllah, we live in a society like this. Whichever, what suburb you come from, automatically that's what school you're going to go to. Your life, already we know what kind of person you are. Allah saying, don't do that. You don't know the sincerity in that person's heart. And then Allah speaks to all of us, and Allah says, وَلَا تُتِعْ And do not obey مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ أَنْ ذِكْرِنَا SubhanAllah. Allah says, the one who I caused his heart to forget my remembrance. I made his heart to be unmindful of me. وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَى Why? Because all he does is he follows his hawa, his desires. وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا And all of his deeds, his whole life is completely lost, is useless. Don't follow such a person. Now again, as I said, one of the themes of fitna is the things that we protect ourselves or fall into fitna is the company we keep. Look at the people that's in your circle, or your family, your close friends. What are the conversations they have? Are they the ones that remember Allah in the morning and the evening? Those who speak about Allah, those who encourage remembrance of Allah, or those who just talk about hawa? The next holiday they're going to, what's on TV, what's happening in the sports, what's happening, what's, you know, the brand new cars, if that's all they're talking about. Now Allah saying, look at the two parables. You've got these types of people on the one hand, and a different type of group on the other hand. Allah says to the Prophet of all people, you stick with this group that remembers me in the morning and the evening. Don't even look at the other group. The ultimate affairs are lost. The ultimate end is completely lost. So now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and he says, وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Now this ayah is addressed to the rabbis, those who questioned Allah. Allah says, you asked me a question, you wanted to know about the people of the cave, I not only gave you their story, I told you how many they were, I told you the geography of the cave itself, I told you how long they stayed in the cave, both solar years and lunar years, and I told you about the confusions that your own scholars have, that within your own group of scholars, what you're debating. So قُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Now say that the truth is from Allah, from your Lord. You need to say that now. This is the test. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. So whoever of you wishes, let him believe. Whoever of you wishes, let him disbelieve. The choice is yours. You ask the question, I answered it. Now the ball is in your court. Whoever wishes to believe, let him believe. And those who wish to disbelieve, let them disbelieve. This opens that chapter we said with regards to free will and destiny. We'll talk about that inshaAllah either this evening or tomorrow. Allah continues, Inna a'tadna lil-zalimin nara ahata bihim suradiquha wa in yastaghithu yughathu bima'in kal-muhli yashwi al-wujuh bi'sa ash-sharab wa sa'at murtafaqa. Allah says, and as a warning, verily, we have prepared, there is something waiting for the zalimeen. The zalimeen, the oppressors. Now usually when we think of oppressors, we think of the politicians, right? We think of world leaders, they are oppressors. No, Allah says all of us are zalimeen. We are all oppressors. Either we oppress each other, or we even oppress ourselves when we commit sin. So Allah says, for all those who have committed, basically the sinners, we have prepared for the sinners a fire, أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِكُهَا, a fire which will completely surround them like walls and close them in. A fire which will lock them in and cover them. And while they're in this burning place, they will cry out, they will plead for help. The only thing of assistance that we'll give them water, which is so hot, it will melt their faces. What a terrible drink. And what an evil place of refuge. Now we pause here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we know this happens in the Quran, and sometimes Islam is criticized by this. Why does Islam go so detailed into the punishments? For example, I mean, Jahannam is described with such terrible, terrible punishment, such extreme punishment. Of the punishments, but let's just mention a little bit of that. And we say these things to motivate us in these last 20 days of Ramadan. I don't want to get to that place. There is a place that is so bad, so, you know, terrible. Allah says, the cold things of that place, the water melts people, the wind burns everything, the clouds are like smoke, it chokes you. That the people will be burning and they will be suffering in that Jahannam for so many years, continuously. The hunger that they will experience, they will have nothing to drink and eat. And the hunger will become so bad, it will even be worse than the burning itself. So they will go to the bottom of Jahannam. The only thing that grows in Jahannam is this tree called Zakum, right? It's this rotten tree that grows inside of Jahannam. If a piece of it were to touch this universe, it will rot everything. And the people of Jahannam will be starving for so long, hunger that just gets worse and worse and worse. And they will go there and they will choke on the zakum, and then they will drink of this water that boils. So Allah says it will cut through them and it will begin over. Now we ask, Ya Allah, why do you punish like this? Isn't it just that you can forgive them? Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says many places in the Quran, even in this surah, Allah does not have any, there's no injustice in Allah. Allah is not unjust to anybody. Allah says that whatever good deeds you do, I don't reward you one good deed, I reward you at least by 10, multiplied by 10. If you commit a sin, you only get the equivalent of that. And then Allah still forgives on Qiyamah. So after his forgiveness, after the kindness that he will show anyone who goes to Jahannam, Allah will say, have I wronged any of you? No one will say that they were deceived or cheated, that they were shortchanged. Whatever happens, وَيَذْ بِاللَّهِ, is on our own account. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He will not harm or wrong anyone for even a slight moment or a slight fraction. Now, there's a hadith where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, to the Prophet peace upon him says, someone will be punished in Jahannam, the lightest form of punishment. And Allah will ask this person, have you ever experienced, just for a second he'll be in Jahannam, and he lived a life of complete luxury. So Allah will say, have you ever experienced any kind of comfort in your life? He will say, no. That second in Jahannam will make him forget everything. And Allah will say, if you were given the world and everything, and I demanded from you to give all of that up, would you do it? So he says, yes, I would have given everything, my kids, my wealth, everything. So Allah says, I didn't ask for that. I didn't ask you give up your children, give up all your money, give up your whole life, spend your whole time in ibadah. I didn't ask any of that. I just ask you not to make shirk with me. That you acknowledge me. You went through an entire life and I was meaningless in your life. All you worshipped was your hawa or something else. So this is only on your account. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is only on your account. Perhaps the saddest thing, different people, You have to think of Jahannam because it's a reality. Whether we like it or not, you must think of Jahannam. When you stand in Salah, understand that my scale, your scale is in balance. There are people in the Qabr, their test is done. That's it, finished. How much they would come just to have a Ramadan to get themselves out of Jahannam or to increase their level in Jannah. May Allah grant all those who have died a high place in Jannah. May none of the believers experience any discomfort in the Qabr. May it be a place of rest and comfort. Ameen. But their test is done. Our test is ongoing. And our scales are going up and down, up and down. We need to ask, are we ready? Every salah, one scholar says, consider that every salah that you're making is that one deed that tips your scale on the right side that enters you into Jannah. This might be that one deed that pushes your scale over the edge, and that's what you need. So, you have to think of Jahannam. So, for example, for me, the thing that besides the fire and the burning and the gore of Jahannam, one thing that is very, very sad and scary is how the people in Jahannam, when all hope is lost, imagine that feeling when the last of the sinners, so people will be forgiven and exit Jahannam. Imagine the time when they said, this is the last man, he's going to go out of Jahannam. Now the doors are locked and it will never ever open again. With that feeling of khalas, there's no more hope. And Allah says, you can either be patient or you can cry or you can scream, I don't listen to you anymore. You had an opportunity to speak to me in the dunya. You had my access, my attention 24/7, anytime. Now I don't want to even hear you anymore, subhanAllah. And all they can do is just regret. Live in continuous regret. What I gave up, what I used my life in the dunya, I got for the soul. So Allah says, وَسَاءَتْ مُرْتَفَقَى. What an evil place that they're going to, destination. Of course, every time, and this is, you need to learn this in tafsir and learn this in the Quran. Every time Allah speaks of punishment, immediately He'll speak of mercy and forgiveness and reward. Because you have to, this is how you must understand Allah. And you must love Him, fear Him, and hope for His reward. Always be hopeful, always be fearful, and always love Him. Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who believe, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and they do good deeds. Iman alone is not enough. You need to do good deeds. You need to make some effort. إِنَّا لَا نُدِيُّ أَجْرَ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ عَمَلًا. I will never ever, Allah says, cause the good deeds that you do to be lost. Every cent you put in that towel, every sujood you made. If you were in the Taraweeh now, for the full every night, you've made 200 rak'ahs of salah. You made 400 sajidahs. Right? 400. Allah says that, don't think it counts for nothing. You know, one of those sajidahs are more beloved than the dunya and all it contains, subhanAllah. Don't think that means nothing. Allah says that will never ever go to waste. You might take it as small, you don't even remember the fasting you did. You don't remember the 5 rand you put in the towel. But that to Allah meant a lot. So Allah says, I will never ever let your good deeds go to waste. For them, and hopefully this is for us, ameen. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ, for them, jannat. They're going to have gardens, jannatu adanin, the garden of Eden. What it means, an everlasting paradise. The trees and the plants in Jannah do not become old, they don't die, they live forever. Everything in that Jannah lives forever. تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهِمُ الْأَنْهَارِ. Underneath these gardens are rivers. So everyone's palace will be on these rivers. So this is how Jannah looks, you know, gardens and trees and rivers flowing through and underneath your homes. يُحَلَّوْنَ. They will be halwa sweet. They'll be sweetened, meaning they'll be beautified. You and the people of Jannah, we will make you beautiful. فِيهَا مِن أَسَاوِرَ مِن ذَهَبٍ. You'll be wearing bracelets of gold, وَيَلْبَسُونَ ثِيَابًا حُضْرًا مِّن سُنْدُسِ وَإِسْتَبْرَقٍ, the finest of silks and the finest of materials you'll be dressed in, مُتَّكِئِينَ فِيهَا عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ, sitting on thrones, نِعْمَ الثَّوَابُ, what a great and excellent reward, وَحَسُنَتْ مُرْتَفَقًا, what an excellent destination. Something on Jannah now. These things that someone asked me, Jannah is described as gardens and silks and gold. Why? Because that is the most expensive stuff here on the dunya. So Allah is saying, the things which are the most expensive of the dunya is really the cheapest things in Jannah. The floor of Jannah is made of musk, and the stones are made of rubies. The wind, when it blows on you, it makes you more beautiful. Allah obviously says what you, the hadith says, in Jannah is what your imagination has never ever thought of. There are things in Jannah all the time that your imagination cannot even fathom. When you go, the one Sheikh explained that we speak about food, but think about how Jannah is. You will taste, you will see this fruit, it will look like a date or an apple, whatever. You taste it and it's the most amazing thing you've ever tasted, ever, ever. Then you taste it for a second time and it tastes even better. And a third time, and even better. For eternity, it's getting better and better and better. Yourself, you get more beautiful daily. Your partner gets more beautiful daily. The goodness just increases. Something, again, that makes me think of Jannah. Do you know what isn't in Jannah? There's no sleep in Jannah. Now, just think about this for a second. For those of us who have kids, we know sleep is a great, you know, like the highest level of Jannah. If you ask, what do you dream of? Is to sleep. It's, I dream to have dreams, right? That's my dream. I want to sleep. People are smiling and laughing. As Taraweeh has that same effect, right? Bayans give you all that same effect, right? I dream of sleeping. The only time when you don't want to sleep is like when you're on a holiday, right? And there's like something exciting. I'm not going to sleep now because I want to experience this exciting thing. Now, Jannah, you have unlimited time. You have enough time to experience everything. But because there's so much to do all the time, the people of Jannah don't have time to sleep. They have infinite time, yet they don't have time to sleep because there's just too much to see. There's too many things to experience. It just gets better and better all the time. Every day there's something new. There's some new adventure to experience. Allah says that they will spend their days having fun. These, you know, resting on thrones and weighing and lounging, that's just when you enter maybe Jannah. Now you need to enjoy yourself. A Sahabi asked the Prophet, peace be upon him, when he heard about Jannah, he said, well, I get to farm in Jannah, grow things, right? Because that's what he loves. He likes to grow things, right? Jannah, when you can just have fruits and things, why would you need to grow? He said, I like to farm. Can I do plow the land and put the seeds in and all that? So the Prophet said, if that's what you love, then you will get that in Jannah. Another person stood up and said, that guy must be an Ansari because we hate to farm, right? I don't want that in my Jannah. So everyone is going to have his Jannah or her Jannah the way you want it. But it depends on what you do in these 20 days. It depends what we do in these 20 days, subhanAllah, whether it is Jahannam or Jannah. That's this hour that we spend in Taraweeh is getting us to that Jannah. 20 steps between us and that place, your happy place, whatever it might be. And of course, we said the greatest blessing is, of course, to see Allah. The highest level of Jannah, we said, is Jannatul Firdaus. Yes, even if we get the lowest Jannah, excellent, alhamdulillah, we made it. I think, when you, that feeling of entering Jannah, the first step and knowing it's over, it's done. I've made it, that's it. I don't have to worry about anything. I never have to feel sad about anything. I've made it. And you see your family, your friends there, we've all made it. We talk about the dunya, we laugh about the dunya, and we just enjoy the Jannah. Right, that's the lowest point. The highest, of course, for those of us who are happy just to get to Jannah, alhamdulillah, but there are those of us who says, no, I want to be in the highest Jannah, where the ceiling of that Jannah is what? The throne of Allah. Where your neighbor is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the rest who don't get there, we said only once a week on Fridays you get to go to that Jannah to meet Allah. Whereas those who are permanently in Al-Firdaus, they get that access, subhanAllah. So Al-Firdaus, that was our question, we'll answer it, is the highest level of Jannah. A Jannah that we said, Allah Himself planted the trees of that Jannah. Allah Himself decorated the mountains. Allah Himself decorated the palaces. Four things He created with His hands Himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Four things He personally made. Nabi Adam, the pen, the throne, and Jannatul Firdaus. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Sahaba asked, is Jannatul Firdaus, this Jannah you're talking about, is it only for the Anbiya and the Shuhada, only for the best of the best? The Prophet says, no, even ordinary people will get there. Right? Even obviously they have to do great things in the dunya to get there. But just your salah, your fasting, the kind of person you are, the character that you have, can get you there. and nothing greater, no gift greater than Laylatul Qadr, something like that, that on your scale, inshallah, Ameen, will be enough to get you there. So 20 days, you can put everything aside and plan for that. May Allah grant us the tawfiq to get there. Ameen. How much time do we have? I think everyone is tired, right? Everyone is tired. So inshallah, we'll continue tomorrow. We'll talk about free will and destiny. So Allah says, whoever of you wishes to believe, believe. Whoever you don't want to believe, don't believe. So do we have free will? Or is there something like this, like destiny? We believe this. Qadr is one of the pillars of Iman. How do we balance this? Especially since the night of destiny is coming. The night of Al-Qadr is coming. We need to understand this. So this is what we will discuss tomorrow. Bi-idhnillah. Ameen. So, what is the highest, our questions for this evening? We said, what is the highest level of Jannah? We answer that now, it's Jannatul Firdaus. That is the highest, that's the, as we say, maybe the Clifton or the Bishop's Court of Jannah. Even Jannah has suburbs, right? That's the highest place, and anyone can get there. You know, we can't get into the Bishop's Court of this dunya, but you can get to Firdaus in the, I mean. Right, what is the, and then we see the question of this evening, what is the tree that grows at the bottom of Jahannam, the only thing that grows in Jahannam, that feeds of the fire of Jahannam, and the, you know, whatever is in Jahannam, there's only one type of tree that feeds there. It's called, is it called a saqar, a zakum, a sijin, or a shajar? What is the name of that tree mentioned in the Quran? We continue tomorrow. Any questions or concerns, wismuhammad@gmail.com, and visit our website burhanul.org.za. Tomorrow is our orphan program. If you'd like to join, please speak to Bata Talib after this, after the Taraweeh, the lecture. You can speak to Bata Talib. Our orphan program, if you'd like to contribute, please contribute. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.